Now, I'm delighted to say we are joined by Hurling to the Core Ambassador Joe Canning, who is speaking at the launch of the second series of Bord Gáis Energy's Gaga Box, which features the most passionate hurling fans across the country filmed in their front rooms as they experience the agony and ecstasy of following their county's fortunes from home. You can watch Gaga Box on Bord Gáis Energy's Hurling to the Core YouTube channel throughout the Senior Hurling Championship. Joe, will they get to see you throughout the hurling championship? You're injured.
Yeah, that's very unusual, isn't it, for me? Yeah, injured again. So just a little bit of ligament damage. I'll be fine in about 2 weeks' time. So yeah, it's kind of an old injury that came up again, but it's fine. It's grand.
I love that one. Just a little bit of ligament damage. Like, you're better off breaking a bone than any damage to a ligament.
Exactly, yeah.
You're speaking to the king of injuries here.
I know, yeah. That's why I'm very conscious of what I say. Like, I'm trying to act the hard man here.
Very much so. But look, Joe, the league is done and dusted now. And in fairness, it has been quite a good one for Galway.
Yeah, you know, we finished off in a high, I suppose, by topping the group. So yeah, we've tried out a good few players as well. So there's loads of competition for places, I think. Going back even to the Limerick game and then the Tip game, we had 9 changes in the space of the week. So good competition between places, and that's kind of what we wanted to get, I suppose, out of the league more so than anything, and kind of build a panel more so that challenges each other, you know.
Yeah, because it has been a difficult enough time for Shane O'Neill coming in with so much upheaval with COVID, and it was going to take a bit of time for him to figure out what he wanted to do, or at least implement what he wanted to do.
Yeah, so obviously the second year he gets to know us a little bit better and he's with us a little bit longer. So it was frustrating last year, I'd say, for management that they didn't have more time with us. So in the last couple of weeks it's been better, and yeah, they kind of know all of us a little bit better anyway, and how our strengths and weaknesses work, I suppose.
So obviously the side had a bit of a goal drought against Limerick and Tip, but they've fairly rattled them in the last couple of games. It must be good to see so many goals going in.
It's good, yeah, but people are giving out about we're scoring too much and they're conceding too much as well, so you can't win sometimes, Ruby. Yeah, but it is good. It is good to get a few goals. I think, like, even back in 17 when we won the All-Ireland, I don't think we scored a goal in like 4 or 5 games coming into that. So, yeah, sometimes I think even the last couple of weeks people are saying the scores are too much. So we'll have to maybe pair it back to maybe 110 apiece or 111 or something like that. People might be happy then.
Joe, I wouldn't worry about them. Just keep banging them in or entertain the rest of us.
What do you think, though, just given the amount of criticism, and it's not just from, you know, the fans sitting at home, it is former players, it is people who have played the game for quite a long time.
Yeah.
Do you feel that, you know, scores aren't as hard to come by, that the art of defending might be waning a bit, that there's way too many frees? What are your thoughts? Just also for you, Joe, having played in for so long and maybe played in a game that was a little bit different a decade ago to playing now.
Yeah, but I'll give the example that I gave actually earlier on today. Like, the 2014 All-Ireland final between Tip and Kilkenny is considered probably one of the best matches ever. The drawn game. And that was 322-128.
Weren't used to those scores then, though.
I know, but still, that's
why it, like, was such a great game.
Exactly, yeah. And like, you can't win with some people. And I think it's a lot of people are just of influence, maybe say something and then people jump on it and perspective is lost and they're not really doing their, you know, research. Sometimes perception is a really powerful thing that's coming across, and I'd take the positives out of it. Like, what's wrong with scoring as much as possible, or like, just enjoy what we have. Players are more skillful, more fit, more strong, so like, you're bound to get more scores. I still think there's a lot of defending, and it's not as if it's gone unphysical. Like, I'm still sore nearly 2 weeks after a week and a half after the Waterford game still. Like, so it is physical. You ask any player, they're still sore coming off the pitch. It's not as if it's gone non-contact, as some people make out as well.
And Joe, you know, just to pick you up on something there, it's, you know, the perception of things. And I watched an interview or listened to an interview with James Skehill recently, and he actually did his research. He went and weighed a new slitter and an old slitter and came to the conclusion there's nothing between them. But what he had noticed was the rim of the ball isn't as pronounced as it was years ago. And if you just thicken that a little bit, then maybe it would change it back to what it was before. What do you think?
It's the first time I think I'll ever agree with Skehill, all right? He actually done a bit of research, unlike the rest of the people that were just like given that soundbite that it was oh, the ball's too light. So yeah, it actually makes the fact that they're still nearly the same. I think it was 112 grams and 111 grams or something like that. And it is true, the rims are smaller than what they used to be. So maybe that could be it. But then again, you're like...
Would you like to see a change though? Are you happy?
I'm playing it. I'm happy enough. Like, that's being honest. I think, like, what is really wrong with it? Do you know? Are we just nitpicking at stuff for the sake of it? Is it because people like to give out a bit more because of COVID or something? You find it in society now, especially with Twitter and social media. People give out a lot more than what they used to. So, I think the fans, if the fans were there, it, like, imagine watching a match that's 3:23 to 4:22. Like, imagine being at that game and not knowing until the last 2 or 3 minutes how it's going to go, and you have the crowds roaring you on. Like, that'd be a special match to be at. So I think if we get fans back into the stadium, I think it'll have a huge effect, and you'll forget about how light the ball is or how short your hurl is or whatever, you know.
Do you think people give out more now, Joe, or do we just actually know they're giving out now?
Yeah, maybe, but it's the social media aspect of everybody has an opinion now, and everybody thinks they're probably some kind of an expert on things. And it's like if somebody kind of influential in media says something, everybody jumps on it and agrees. But in fact, it's very hard for the majority of people to agree on things. Do you know what I mean? Everybody has a different opinion, and I don't think it's either really positive or really negative. There's no in between. And I think some people...
Do you not think, though, that was always there? People sitting in sitting rooms, sitting in pubs, watching matches, they were always voicing their opinion to each other. It's just now that they've taken to a mobile phone and they're not having that conversation. They're voicing it out as if they're law and order rather than being in the discussion group they were in.
Yeah. And that's true. But that influences decision makers. Do you know what I mean? That influences the guys in Croke Park who are making decisions on rules in the last couple of months. And that influenced, I suppose, the black card in football and in hurling over the past number of months, and advantage rules and stuff like that. They're listening to the people on Twitter now instead of, I suppose, looking at it and analysis-wise more so than anything, if you know what
you
I mean.
You think that's sad? That they're being influenced by the people outside the game rather than those in it?
Oh, totally, yeah. Yeah, 100%. Like, players, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know if many players are asked about the rules of the game or brought into Croke Park and sat down and have a meeting with who makes these rules, or even referees. Like, I've talked to a referee there before at the start of the year, and basically he was just told, this is the rule changes, this is how you have to implement them, instead of consulted on it. Do you know what I mean? Like, why aren't players and referees consulted on these things rather than not being consulted? Do you get me?
They're trying to fix a problem that's not broken.
Yeah, exactly.
Do they not canvass the GPA though?
I don't know about the advantage rule. That advantage rule, I never saw it, I never heard about it. I'm not too sure, Marie, to be honest. I didn't see it, I was just told about it. But, like, who makes the decisions at Congress? It's not the... Do you know what I mean?
Well, the GPA were for a long time, we're fighting to get more representation at Congress, which...
Yeah, yeah. But they can only do so much, do you know what I mean? When you have guys there on boards
and
committees.
And...
Yeah, so they're there, but they're there in a minority, do you know? So it's very hard to affect change when you're only a few in it.
So then, just given, Joe, your status in the game, you're a very established player who's been around for quite a long time. Do you feel then almost a bit of a responsibility when you're in situations like this to say what you feel and to maybe be the voice of players who might not be in these type of situations and ask these questions?
That's only my opinion at the end of the day, Marie. There's probably loads of players at home listening to me going, what's he on about? I don't agree with that. And that's 100%.
Or do you not think someone of your stature standing up and saying something gives them more gusto to follow suit?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd probably get myself into trouble now. probably
will,
saying too much. But that's just the way it is. That's, like, I've always kind of said how I felt about things, but... I'm not one for kind of shine behind things either, but that's just my opinion. As I said, 10 other lads, and I hope they do have different opinions, because that's the beauty of it. I hope, like, yeah, that's just my opinion, and if it is, I'm not saying it's right, it could be 100% wrong, but that's just how I feel, I suppose.
So what would you change then, if you could change anything about the game right now?
I would take the guy out of the stand that is marking the referees on a game. I would let the referees referee it the way they see it, with common sense. 100%.
Would you be comfortable then if they get something wrong?
Yeah, because everybody gets something wrong. They're getting, like, it's just human nature. Like, obviously, when you're in a game, you don't agree with something, a free or whatever. That's just human nature, right? But I think they're more afraid of getting something wrong now because of the assessor in the stand. Like, I remember a match we played last year, and a guy got a second yellow, and I said to the ref, I said, there's no need, I'm fine. Like, he hit me just a little slap in the back of the helmet, and he got a second yellow and got sent off. And the ref came to me after the match and said, if I didn't give him the yellow, I'd be docked marks from the assessor and I mightn't get another game. Do you know? So there's things, do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, and I remember when that was a thing where anyone who touched the helmet,
yeah,
that there was a few high profile. I think my Podge Collins might have got read it.
Yeah,
if I'm right.
But like the common sense thing is, like, yeah, I understand a high challenge is a high challenge, right? But if it's a bad high challenge, yeah, you understand. But if it's an accident, mm-hmm. there's no, and that's not a referee's fault. He didn't want to, but he was probably thinking, if I don't give the yellow card, I mightn't get another game for the summer. And that's very tough when you're thinking about that. Do you know?
Yeah.
So I think referees don't get enough of protection that way as well. Like, I think they're under serious pressure, and I think people are being very harsh on them, to be honest about it. So yeah, I think just a bit more common sense. That's, again, my opinion.
I found it difficult as a jockey when they would change rules and different things came in to adapt to them straight away. Do you find that in hurling, when there's a new rule change, that you're not given enough of time to get up to speed with it?
Yeah, I suppose, but like sometimes rules are introduced just for the sake of being introduced. I think rules should be only introduced to actually help games, rather than, and the more rules you have, the harder it is for a referee or players to actually play the game and have a free flowing game. Yeah, it does take a bit of time, but like we have to look at it as players as well, and just get on with things, and learn how to not be fouling, I suppose, and not being physical. But that's like, sometimes it's just over eagerness or a bit of more competitiveness or something like that. Yeah, it does take time to get used to some.
Yeah, and I guess the way things are at the moment as well, it could be over so quickly and you mightn't even have got to grasp it, what the way
yeah,
things are played.
Yeah, yeah.
And Joe, just for yourself, I know there's been quite a lot of talk about where you're playing, as in positional, where you're going to end up
yeah.
playing. What's your preference?
I think there's a need, like, cornerback or somewhere I'd probably have to play next. I don't mind. Everybody has an opinion where I should be, I think.
Yeah, but it's your opinion we want. Who cares what everyone else's opinion is?
Yeah, listen, I'd be straight up. I don't mind where I really play. Like, I'm playing with the club midfield centre forward for the last number of years. I enjoy that little bit more of freedom out there than being pigeonholed to the full forward line. But like, I went in there the other day because I couldn't run after Callum Lyons any longer. He was gone every time. So I think it was either that or take me off, and played in the full forward line for a while the last day. So yeah, it's horses for courses, different games, throw up different things. It depends on how we set up and stuff like that. So
when you get pigeonholed in the full forward line, then do you find yourself, unbeknownst to yourself, wandering out the pitch back to where you want to be?
Yeah, I think you have to be very patient at times when you're in there, that you like you keep your depth and leave room for yourself as well. So yeah, you have to be a patient kind of a type of character, I suppose, playing a full forward line, that you don't close down the space in front of you. If no ball is coming in, you can kind of, as you said, drift out a little bit. If no ball's coming in, you're kind of, you're eager to get on the ball, or you're thinking, oh, I haven't been on the ball now in 5 or 10 minutes. But it, like, if you get one ball then into your hand, you get a score, it's worth it, do you know what I mean, for being patient. So yeah, it's just about being a little bit more patient and things.
And what about, Joe, the consistent or the constant analysis of your role? So, like, you are, of all players, every time Galway is mentioned, your name is mentioned, and it's what you're doing or what you're not doing, or if you've changed anything, or where you're going to play, or if you're the main man, if you're carrying the team, or if you're not carrying the team, or if you're trying to bring more players into the game this year. How do you cope with all of that attention?
Yeah, you hear that. There's no point in saying I don't hear that sort of stuff. I do. Does it bother me? It bothers me in the fact that a lot of people that say it, how would you put this, don't really understand the game. Like, they're saying, oh, full forwards are only place. But, like, that was 10 years ago. I'm a completely different player than what I was 10 years ago. Like, that's the thing that frustrates me, that people don't, like, people still have this perception of me that I'm in the full forward line. You should be getting 2-4 a game, and if you don't get 2-4, what were you doing? Even though you might have set up 4 points or another 2-4, do you know, that kind of way. I think people look at what's behind your name after a game more so than actually what else you contribute. It's like, I think Tony Kelly maybe yesterday scored 2-5 or something, got a goal from play, but what he set up out of that was better than scoring maybe 8 points from play another day. But the day he scored 8 points, everybody, you know, was raving about him.
Yeah.
So it's stuff like that that kind of, like, I go back to even 2015, I was second highest top scorer from play in championship, and I had a terrible year.
to people,
so stuff like that is funny. Yeah, so yeah, it's gas.
And it's been for such a long time as well, and you said there you're a very different player than you were 10 years ago. So what kind of a player are you now, and what kind of player were you then?
A better one.
Back then, like, you were in the full forward line, it was a different game. Totally different game. Like, now it's more about, like, your work rate. Like, you have different barometers to hit, I suppose. Your tackles, your turnovers, and obviously scoring and stuff like that come into it. But, like, you can't stand in full forward now and just wait for the ball to come into you, like I was probably doing when I was starting off. Like, now you have to go and work your ass off for the team. So I'd say tackle wise and stuff like that is way more improved than what it was maybe 8-9 years ago. That sort of stuff. And even, like, yeah, I'm obviously fitter and stronger probably now, like everybody is, since then. So yeah, probably more rounded player than, let's say, just as the boys used to say, the bear in the square, as they call a few of the boys.
Yeah. I answered it for you in the beginning. Just a better one.
Yeah. And do you ever get fed up of it? Are you still enjoying it as much as ever?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it, yeah. Like, I wouldn't be playing it if I didn't enjoy it, to be honest. I do enjoy it, and it's a bit weird. My nephew is in with us now at Galway, so it's kind of a strange one. I don't know actually if there was any uncle and nephew before. Maybe there surely was, but you know, you're getting pushing on a small bit when the nephew's in training with you.
That has to be slightly awkward, isn't it?
yeah. You kind of, it is a little bit strange, but I treat him the same as anybody else, probably even harder. than anybody else. So,
do you think he treats you the same?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him, probably. Yeah. Yeah. Don't know.
Right, we'll be keeping an eye on it. Yeah, Joe, yeah. Are you looking forward to championship then?
Yeah, yeah. Can't wait for it now in 3 weeks' time. So, yeah, looking forward to it now.
Right. Joe Canning, thanks so much for coming in and joining us. And Joe is a Hurling to the Core ambassador. So check out Gaga Box.
Yeah. Cheers.